All right, good afternoon. Freilich and Erev Purim. Tanis Esther is different than every other fast day that we have on the calendar because all the other calendars, their core, their source is tshuva, introspection, reflection, self-improvement. Tanis Esther is an exception. There are several implications of how it's an exception, including when it falls out on Shabbos, do we advance it or do we defer, including the fact that it's unusual and it's against our rule altogether that we're fasting today. At Shacharis, we said Slichos, Avinu Malkeinu, and Tachanun. And at Mincha, we just omitted Avinu Malkeinu and Tachanun because it's Erev Chag, it's Erev Yantif, it's Erev Purim. You don't fast or give Hespedim on Erev a holiday. So it's a total violation and aberration from our normal rules. So the Rush writes, and it seems this way from the Rambam, that Tanis Esther is an exception. Tanis Esther is unlike any other fast. Today is not about introspection and reflection, not that that isn't warranted at all times. Today is about recreating and reliving the experience of Lech Kinos Kol HaYehudim. In anticipation of Purim, the prerequisite to Purim, the catalyst of Purim, is that we come together and that we're one. We feel a sense of Achdus, a sense of unity. So we exhibit that and we relive that through Jews around the world fasting and davening, not as we normally do as a call of desperation out of tshuva, but rather as a historical reenactment. Just like we will observe Purim to commemorate a holiday that was, Tanis Esther is commemorating what was the catalyst to that very holiday. So it's a very, very different view of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And arguably this year we can appreciate and we need it more than most, maybe more than ever for some of us, as we're facing not only this virus, which is a formidable threat in its own right, but the panic and hysteria surrounding it, which is also expanding and competing with it as a threat. And so we say, Avinu Malkeinu, we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to remove the magefa, to remove this plague, this virus, takes on extra meaning, the sentence in our davening today. And I want to share with you one other thought before we conclude our section on bribery and protectia and the different halachic applications of it. And it doesn't seem entirely consistent, but it's Erev Purim. How can we not share some more Purim Torah? So the Lekach V'Alibo of Rav Avram Shor, I quoted on Shabbos. It's a fantastic sefer. It's unbelievable. Every piece in it is a gem. The Lekach V'Alibo in general, as far as are amazing, but I find particularly here on Adar and Amalek, Zachor, and Purim, and so on. He says the following. The Pasuk says, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. Tomorrow we'll have a mitzvah, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. We have to deliver Mishloach Manos, two gifts to one person. Can they be of the same category? What if one is a liquid and one is a solid? Do they have to be cooked? What if they're raw? All kinds of halachic discussions about what qualifies as mishloach manos. Should you deliver it directly? According to some, it's better to even do it through a shliach. A lot of lamdas, a lot of halacha surrounding this mitzvah. So he quotes here Rav Avram Shor from the Sefer Ginas Egos, not Rav Shechter's Ginas Egos, a Talmud of the Rebbe HaKadosh Baal Tzemach Hashem Letzvi, Hevi Divra Arishas Chochma. The Lachar Ptira Sa'adam Sholin, so after a person dies, he's asked, Hamlachta Lachavercha Benachas Ruach, Hamlachta Laborecha Shachars Va'arvis, did you coronate your friend pleasantly, Benachas Ruach? Did you coronate, designate your creator in the morning and in the evening? What does that mean, Hamlachta? To be Mamlech. To be Mamlech Hashem, I understand, to coronate God, to declare God's dominion and providence over us, to declare God as the King of Kings, I understand. What does it mean to declare God, what does it mean rather to declare to your friend, Himlach l'chavrecha? So the Megala Amukos and Parshas Voschanan reminds us that the word Yisrael, the name for the Jewish people, we are Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Yisrael is an acronym. It's Rosh Tevosh, it stands for Yeshishim Riba Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. I'll let you in on a little secret. There are not 600,000 letters in the Torah, but for our purposes, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Don't blame the Megala Amukos. It preceded him. Every letter of the Torah, each letter itself is like a bulb. Each letter itself is like a spotlight that is illuminating the world. Each time the word S, the, appears in the Torah, it seems like it's an insignificant, inconsequential word. It's just a filler. S, the. Nevertheless, each S, each word, the, each of the appearances is illuminating the world in another way, is offering a light and an insight. Kolesi Yishla Or Acher Meshuna Me'asheni. Every letter in the Torah is unique, is distinct, is singular, different than every other. Ulefiza Muvan Gamken Ki Kol Ishmi Yisrael Yishla Or Acher Or Miyuchad Shal Neshmasa Miyuchadah Shu Os BaTorah. So if there's a letter in the Torah corresponding to every Yid, to every Jew, there were 600,000 Jews, that's why there were 600,000 letters in the Torah, and we too each have our own letter in the Torah. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's brought down during Hagbah. When the Torah is raised, you'll see many people will point. Some point with their fingers, some point with their pinky. People point. But that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say to point, it says to bow. Don't shake hands with the Torah, just bow. It says to bow in Shulchan Aruch. What's the origin to point with your pinky? I think there was an article in Hakira, the Flappish Journal, about the origin of why the pinky. So we bow, and it's brought down by Mekubalim, that not only do we bow, Shulchan Aruch already records that you should be at a distance from the Torah, that you can read the letters of the Torah. That's why the Torah has to be open to the parsha that you're reading, and it's held up, it's lifted for all to see. But the mystics bring that not only should you see the general writing of the Torah, you should find your letter in the Torah. That Hagbah is the moment that you affirm that you have a place in the Torah has a place in you. That you too can illuminate the world, like every letter of the Torah is unique and singular and distinctive and distinguished and has a special place. Every Jew, every Yid has a special place. So says Rav Shor, if every Jew is a letter in the Torah, as ha'or shalahu be'emes ein sof, k'mo shekasu b'sfas emes, Torah Hashem tamima perish, tamima shebechol os v'os nimta kol Torah. The whole Torah is contained within every letter. We darshan every letter, every word, the tagin, the crowns of the letters. So if every Jew is like a letter, and Torah Hashem tamima, the letters of the Torah are endless, they are profound, they're boundless. So to every Jew, the neshama, the chelek elokam mima'al mamash, the godliness, the tzelem elokim that's inside every Jew is also without boundaries, without borders. It's limitless. It shines bright. It's unlimited potential. Do we say Yesh Muktam Mu'uchar B'Torah? Ein Muktam Mu'uchar B'Torah? Is the Torah written chronologically? Is the Torah written thematically? But that principle, Ein Muktam Mu'uchar B'Torah, Rav Shor homiletically describes, means not only the chronology is the Torah written in its proper or improper order, but rather it's describing that Ein Muktam Mu'uchar, every letter of the Torah has the whole Torah, and therefore every Jew has all the neshama. We can repair ourselves. We can find our potential. We can enrich our lives through one letter in the Torah. Every Jew is unique. Just like every letter of the Torah spells out another word, spells out another sentence, expresses another mitzvah. Each letter is unique, so too every Jew is unique. No two are the same. We each have our own background, and we each have our own blessings and opportunities and liabilities and challenges. We each are here for our own unique mission to fulfill in this world. Every Jew is unique. We have our own light to offer the world, to shine on the world, to illuminate the world. This is all based on Rav Nachman of Breslov. That everyone has an inestimable value. No Jew is higher or superior or greater than another. Each of us have our own expression in this world. Each of us are a unique expression of godliness in this world. Each of us are represented by another letter in the Torah, and every letter of the Torah is unique. Listen to this beautiful insight now. Listen to what he says. Oh, it's geschmack. This is what it means, that we will be asked, were we mamlich chaver al atzmo, our friend on ourselves. Ki l'chol echad yesh davar shu be'emes melech alav. Haynu shu yesh lo zeh ha-davar v'ata tzarech l'kabel mimenu. V'lachein ha-melech himlech chavercha alecha v'zeh mevi ko kla Yisrael de achdus nifla. See, if you walk around in life and you feel, I'm superior, I'm better, I'm greater, I'm smarter, I'm more talented, I've accomplished and achieved more. That other person, they're less than me. They're worse than me. They're not as smart. They're not as accomplished. They're not as... So then a person is arrogant. You distance yourself not only from people, you distance yourself from Hashem when you have that attitude. The question that we will be asked, which is Himlachta, did you coronate your friend over you, means, did you see the king in him or her? Did you see the godliness in them? If it's true that each of us is a unique and distinct expression of Chelek Eloka Mima'al Mamish, if every Jew is a unique expression of godliness into this world, it means that we are invited to see within every fellow Jew Hashem, to find him in our fellow Jew, to see their greatness, to see the godliness in them. What we're coronating over ourselves is not the boss of Adam, the human being, but it's the godliness Shebo. It's the Hashem, it's the uniqueness, it's their letter in the Torah that's in them. And that will result in Achdus Yisrael. Because if you walk around and you say, my responsibility, my mission, my goal is to find the godliness, the virtue in the other. You see, if you think there is no godliness and there is no virtue, then you're not only a heretic in Bin Adon L'Chavero, you're a heretic in Bin Adon L'Makom. If in your relationship with other people you see there's nothing worth acknowledging or recognizing or drawing you close, you see no virtue worth admiring or emulating, then what you're stating essentially is that person has no godliness in them. That person is not a Tzelem Elokim. But if we concede, if we acknowledge, if we affirm that every human being has a Tzelem Elokim in them, then our job is to look for it. He doesn't quote this, Rav Shor, but that's why some of Farshim explained, Yahavta Recha Kamocha Ani Hashem. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am your God. What does that have to do with loving my neighbor? God, I'll talk to you when I get to shul. God, wait for me in the Beis Medrash. What does that have to do? Yahavta Recha Kamocha. How I'm relating to my fellow man. So they explain, no. What's the driver of Yahavta Recha Kamocha? What empowers Yahavta Recha Kamocha is Ani Hashem. Says Hashem, I am the omnipotent, I am the infinite, and I've placed a piece of myself, a unique manifestation or expression of myself, in each and every one of you. And therefore, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Just like in your kishkas, you know that I'm inside you. You have a moral compass, you have a pintle yid. Find that in the other. Search for it, look for it. There's something virtuous in everybody. And how do you know that? Because each person is a tzelem elokim. Everyone is an expression of Hashem, and if you look, you'll find it, and that creates a sense of achdus. The achdus nifla, he writes, a profound, wondrous achdus, a unity which is profound. It's not a unity of cooperation. It's not a unity of pragmatism. It's not a unity that we are a conglomerate, because look, we got to get rid of the coronavirus. And the only way we'll do it is if we all follow the same standards and quarantining and so on and so forth. So really, I have nothing to do with you. Really, I want nothing to do with you. But we have a shared interest in getting rid of the coronavirus. That's not achdus. That's not achdus. Achdus nifla is, there's something to admire in you, and you have something to admire in me, because both of us are expressions of God in this world. Oh, now listen to the best part. You ready? Yadua ki Purim is man achdus. Purim is the holiday of achdus, of coming together. Lech kenos kol ha-yehudim. What we're doing now on Tanis Esther is anticipating, getting ready for Purim by practicing the achdus of caring about one another and fasting together. V'zeh kol tachlas mitzvos mishloach manos. U'mefarsh b'sefer ginas egos. Ah, you ready? Mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. You know what you're sending to your friend? Manos is to be memana, to be mamlach. You are designating, you're coronating. Manos b'gematria is malchus. L'shloach malchus echad l'sheni. Hainu, himlach chavercha alecha. What we're doing on Purim is going to every door, going to our neighbors, delivering mishloach manos is, we're being mishloach, we're delivering manos, we're being memane. We're saying, here is the way that you can teach me. Here is your tzelem elokim that I see in you, that I want to learn from, and that I want to emulate. So mishloach manos is not who can make the most impressive and themed and expensive and fancy. That's not what Shmoach Lonos. Mishloach Manos superficially is just an excuse to be able to knock on the door and to give some food. But what you're really going to deliver, Mishloach Manos, is Mishloach Malchus. What you're really going to do is to be Mamlech, is to be Memana, is to designate, to appoint the other person. Most of us appoint the other person beneath us. What we do on Purim is we appoint the other person above us. Here is what's worth admiring. Here's what's worth emulating. Here is what's worth celebrating about you, because you are a unique expression of Hashem. V'zerem is nifla ba'avodas hayom. V'yachakach mamshech harishes chochma. Himalech lebarecha. and then we can coronate God. V'zegam ke mitzvos hayom diyesh lefarish re'eyu al lamala k'mo shekasav Rashi. V'yatul re'echa kamocha re'echa v're'avicha al ta'azov. So that word re'echa, who is our best friend on the planet? Not on the planet, off the planet. Who is our best friend? Everyone's best friend. The Ebishto, the Ribono Shel Olam, Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. We're also being Mamlech Hashem. So Purim is a holiday where we're Mamlech Re'ehu Mamish. We're being Mamlech Re'ehu, our friend. We're Mamlech Re'ehu Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mishloach Manos Zeh Malchus Ish L'Re'ehu Adam LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hayde Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. V'lachein Omer Aginas Egos Manos Ish L'Re'ehu B'Gematria Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The gematria works out. Because that is what Purim is about. Tonight and tomorrow, tomorrow in particular, when we go around and deliver the Mishloach Manos, it's not superficially and it's not just jovial and it's not just a party. We're trying to build something. We're building relationships. And we're not just building relationships over shared food that we do regularly. We're building a relationship that says there's something in you that's worth admiring. I'm using Purim to pause and to identify what is your tzelem Elokim, your unique attribute. I want to be mamlech, I want to be memana, I want to appoint you a king over me in your royalty. We're all royalty. We are the children of royalty. There's something royal within each of us. Some people, the royalty is on the surface. Others, you have to dig deep and peel away the layers to find it. But as the children of Hashem, we're all royalty. So the royalty of today is running away from their royalty. Prince, whoever his name is, and her name?
Harry.
Harry and... You would know, Harry and Meghan, they're your royalty. So they're done. They want out.
Meghan is yours.
We don't have royalty. They want out. They want out of royalty. But we run into royalty. Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know the Gra. Every time the word Melech appears in the Megillah, it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to read it as a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what this holiday is. Being Mamlech Hashem and being Mamlech Lahavdil, but finding, coronating the royalty that's in the other. Seeing the royalty of all the people who are around us. I think it's a very powerful idea and a very powerful piece. A little shtickle on Purim before we get back to bribery and cutting lines. And now I'm going to rabbinically, brilliantly, homiletically connect the two. Which is, when you cut lines and use protexia and bribe, you're failing to see the Tzelem Elokim. You're failing to see the royalty in the people around you. You think you're superior, you're better, you're more entitled, so you're trying to get ahead rather than recognize that everyone is equal and the people around you deserve the honor and respect. How is that? Not bad, right? Okay. Rav Avram Shor, the son of Gedalia Shor, Rav in Brooklyn. Okay, so we're on page 18 in the source booklet. We'll finish up today, whether we finish up or not, we're finished up with this today. We've been discussing the question of bribery, protexia, cutting lines, the ethic, the halacha, and Rav Zilberstein has had several tshuvas where we have been applying it halacha lamaisa, from the person in charge of the organ donation registry and whether they are entitled to give preference to their loved one or friend. We talked about standing in line. If someone cuts in line, do they have the din of a goslin? Do they have the din of a goslin? Or it's not the din of a goslin, they just have the din of a person who went against what is common courtesy. They violated V'yatul Recha Kamocha. They violated Tzedek Tzedek Tirdof, but not necessarily the status of a goslin with several nafkaminas. We talked about the shtick. Can you go into the supermarket, leave your cart in line, and then go shopping? So by the time you're done shopping, you're already your turn at the checkout. You can pay and get out of there. And it brings us up to page 18. And I think we left off with this last time. What if you have an electronics store and one customer, the first one who arrived, the one who got there first, wants to purchase something insignificant, 3 shekel. And after him comes in someone who says, I want to buy a washing machine, dryer, a dishwasher, a major sell, major profit. So can the owner go out of order and first take care of the one who will return the better profit and violate the order in which they came? That was the question. So Rav Zilberstein said, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Avches tells us, Kakaton kagadol tishma'un, Amrei shlokish, sheichavav alecha, din shal pruta, gidin shal meyamana, l'mayel chasa ilim, aliyunei ba, mifsikei pshita, el lak dumei. The halacha is that you have to take people according to the order that they came. That's the halacha. When it comes to a din Torah, a beis din, and they have a waiting room of people, you take them the order they came. And the Masha asks on this, and then he gives an answer, and he ends up saying the following, that, turn the page, when is it that you have to observe an order and you have to observe a line? When it's a public place, when everyone is equally entitled to function based on the order they arrive on their line. But if it's a private place, then the one who is entitled to run that private place, be it profit or non-profit, the Baal of the private place is entitled to make the rules and entitled to make their own order even within the rules. So therefore, the owner, the proprietor, who needs to provide for his family, is entitled to go out of order in order to take the customer who will turn a bigger profit over the one who will return a lesser profit because his family comes first. So when it comes to a line in a public place, it's time to go wash for Shalosh Shudas, and you're running up against Shkia and running out of food. So in Shul, no one's entitled more than the other. And therefore, you're not allowed to cut the line. You can't reorder the line. But in a private store that you own and operate, it's your store, you could decide that you're not going to even sell to someone. Again, there are discriminatory laws, but you can determine you're not going to sell. You could kick someone out of your store. Certainly, you can take them in another line, in another order. Would that apply to a doctor's office? The middle of page 19. Rofe Shabai Lav Metupal Ani, Shichola Sheimba Sakana. A doctor who has a patient who is indigent, but they're not deathly ill. And the doctor knows that he can't get a large payment from him. Afterwards comes a wealthy sick person. And the doctor is going to land a large payment. So the nurse knocks on the door and he has some form of a code, and not a code like coding, but a code. Says, "Doc, room 2, you got a heavy roller. Room 1, poor person. Doc, come back to handle room 1. We got a VIP in room 2. They're paying out of pocket cash, paying the whole amount. Go handle room 2. So can the doctor leave room 1? So Rav Zilberstein says, "L'chor doma adam the machlokos hashabena marshal erach shai." So he had quoted that was a machlokes marsha and arshai, whether you can go out of order. But if you assume that the doctor owns his doctor's office, it's a private practice. If it's socialized medicine, maybe there's a different standard. Socialized medicine, he may not be entitled to reorder his waiting room or his patient room. But if it's a private practice, the doctor runs the practice, there you do not apply kikaton kagadol tishmon. That's only to a dayan, which is a public right. But to a private right, the doctor would be entitled to go out of order. Next question. When the bus pulls up to the bus stop, should people ascend the bus in the order they arrived at the bus stop? Or no? Once the bus pulls up, whoever can get on first can get on first. Whatever order you can get on, however many elbows you can throw, you can throw. Is there a halacha governing the line at a bus stop? So he quotes our Gemara by now, which with we're very familiar, Daf Ches, Kikaton Kigodol Tishmon, Amr Shlakesh, we've seen this now many times, that you have to follow the order. The Sma writes, halfway down the first paragraph, V'hosif HaSma, Shemashma HaSapasa Kikaton Kigodol Tishmon, Davka L'achar Shepischa B'din Shakaton, V'yischil L'shma Ta'anusayim, Tu'en L'tchos L'mashil Din HaGodol, V'komakam Chazal HaSmechu HaHikra Kikaton Kigodol Tishmon, Because So it's possible, according to the Smuz interpretation of that Gemara, it's only when you begin to adjudicate that you have to follow the order and the line. But if you were, they were waiting, in other words, if you come out to the lobby, to the waiting room, then you have to go with the order of arrival. But outside the whole Bezdin, the entrance of the Bezdin altogether, maybe then you can see them as one whole unit, not in the order they arrived. And then you're entitled to order it the way that you want. The way that you want. Why should there be this difference? Ask Rav Zilberstein. Why wouldn't we apply? It's very logical. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. That first come, first serve. The order you arrive is very logical. Makes a lot of sense. Seems appropriate. So he says, because there's two psukim. The first is the one we've seen. That is a specific din regarding dayanim, regarding judges, and regarding beisdin. The nafkamina ben shnei adayanim dinim shemolchem rak echad atzedek vayosher tzarch lodin kol mikra legufo shlevam matzedek vayosher mechayav the kabbas vasheni, and so on. So lefi zeh, skip to the next paragraph. Nirush midin atzedek vayosher kol mishigir rishon atachana tzarch lahirshos lo laalos rishon otobus. He concludes that no, you would apply the din kikatan kigadol tishmaun, even when it comes to the line that forms at the bus stop, but that rule is governed not by the din of dayanim that has its own pasuk. It's governed by a different din of tzedek v'yosher, of what is right and what is just, since it's based on righteousness and justice. So that's a variable. That's one factor, the order they arrived online. There's another factor, such as, is someone sick? Is someone vulnerable? Is somebody in a big rush? They have a plane to catch. So if you're forming the halachas and the ethics of lines based on the principle of tzedek v'yosher, then there are other variables of tzedek v'yosher that you have to take into account in determining how the line should form and how the line should operate. Next question, bottom page 20. Ma'isa barofei gadol shegei mechutz l'arz mekabel anashim v'odiyo shamar amirpa'a tiftach b'shosh shmona. You have a doctor who came from chutz l'arz to see people, and he's told that the clinic will open at 8. Az v'yatsch l'kabel anashim v'anashim v'giyo me'arba lefnos boker v'imtino shoz b'chutz k'dei l'skabel atzlo. This world-famous doctor came from Chutz La'aretz. So even though the clinic opens at 8, what time did they arrive there? 4. Mishagia rishon is kama rishon ha-shama atur maschem eis p'sichas ha-merpa'a. V'kom isham d'sham beis p'sichas ha-merpa'a kulam shavim b'tur. So how do you view it? If the clinic opens at 8, whoever can get in the door first, that's when the line forms at 8, because that's when the clinic opened. Or no, if they arrive there at 4, whatever time they arrive there, in whatever order they arrive there, even if it was before the time that it opened. You can ask the same thing when the new cell phone is released. People stand around the block on, what do they call it? Friday after Thanksgiving?
Friday.
Black Friday. So what's the halacha that governs lines? Is the line, the order of the line, first come, first serve, a din in, whatever time the place opened? Or first come, first serve is, even before the place opened? In other words, maybe if the place opens at 8, 7:55, I can walk up and stand in front of you. And you'll say, what are you doing? I was here first. And I'll say, no one was here first. It hasn't opened yet. We only determine first once it's opened. That's the question he's asked. Doesn't bother anyone, his question. So says Rav Zilberstein, L'chora, yitachin shevesipur zeh yeshmakom shelo lekabas habar mishonim, kevet shamirpa'a niftachet b'shah shmona, mishibakodem hazman, ulai ein bezeh tzedek v'yosher l'akdimam. V'kom yishiyavo me'asmo v'yikach sak shena v'yishan sham, v'yachar ein l'afsharas l'asos kein, ha'im yeshmakom l'akdimo. So maybe you could make a persuasive argument that before the time that something opens, there's not a din of a line yet. So you can't call it first come, first serve. And if someone slept over from yesterday and others didn't have that opportunity, they deserve the first right? How far back do you go? ומכל מקום, ייתוכן שמי שמוצא עצמו לדבר, רואה שמוכן להמתן שעוס על גבי שעוס, זה סימן שזה דוחף לא יוסם אל האחרים, ויש מקום להקדימו. On the other side, he says, the fact that someone is willing to come so early and to camp out, the fact that someone is willing to arrive so many hours before the opening, shows how much and how badly they want it. And maybe, l'fum tzara agra, according to the effort, and according to the Mesiris Nefesh and the sacrifice, comes the right, comes the entitlement. Mikomakom nira shakol of yiros anashim, shemigia kama shosh anashim amish lahascha lama batur, udavar savir meatzedek vayosh l'akdimam. What is Rav Zilberstein driving at? And this is what I'm driving at to you. Is that these rules are not absolute. There's no sif and shulchan aruch that you're going to open up to find it. There's not tshuvas that you're going to find it. It's based on tzedek v'yosher, what is right and what is just. So you need to ask yourself in those moments, what does Hashem want? The Ramban writes, critically important comment, on the pasuk v'asisa yashav atov. The Ramban writes, what is that mitzvah v'asisa yashav atov? So the Ramban writes, you know, as infinite as a document the Torah is, we spoke about every os in the Torah, every letter illuminates the world, contains the whole Torah in it. As great as the Torah is, the Torah as a finite document cannot legislate every scenario that would ever rise. The Torah didn't talk about technology, didn't talk about moral dilemmas, didn't talk about health standards and conducts when there's a virus which is being spread. It didn't talk about when there's a computer glitch, so an airline ticket is being offered for an amount that the airline's going to lose money because of a glitch. So the Ramban says that's what the pasuk v'asisa yashav atov comes to tell you. Tells you that when something is not explicit in the Torah, you need to ask yourself, what would Hashem want me to do? That's what v'asisa v'yashav atov tells me. Asisa v'yashav atov tells me, you have to ask yourself, when you don't know and it's not explicit and you can't find it, what would Hashem want? I once got in trouble because I wrote an article. Every now and then there's an airline that has a glitch and certain websites profit off of promoting those glitches and telling the whole world, quick, jump, run, buy tickets for everyone you know, take advantage. And I said, you can make a lot of arguments, and those people do, for why halachically it's justified. You can make halachic arguments to defend that behavior of sharing the glitch that's going to cost people money. But what I think you can't make an argument is that it's not a violation of Asisa Yashav Atov. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down and he sees Fumi Yidden with yarmulkes and websites and apps and email lists that are associated with being Torah Jews who are promoting, take advantage of someone else's glitch, take advantage of somebody else's
mistake.
And if that were your brother and your brother's business were going to lose money, would you want other people sharing and saying, take advantage? Asisa Yashav Atov. In the same argument I wrote about the airline glitch, and I also wrote about, there was a case several years ago, it was a person who was a rabbi, I don't know him, the newspaper articles were about him, where he had a practice of every time he took a flight, he would complain, he'd earn extra miles, he took advantage of the miles programs, he abused the miles programs in such a way that they froze his privileges. And he was suing them in court. And the whole thing to me was a big Chilul Hashem. And again, I don't know the merits of the case. Maybe he was entirely right. But it didn't smack of Asisa Yashav Atov. You have to ask yourself, when you can't point to a Sif and Shulchan Aruch, should you cut the line, not cut the line? Should you go to Disney and claim they have an illness when you don't have the illness? Should you request a wheelchair, you don't need the wheelchair? Vasisa Yashav Atov. Just ask yourself, are you making Hashem proud? Are you giving him Nachas Ruach? So these rules, says Rav Zilberstein, the rules of lines, protectia, they're informed and they're governed by tzedek v'yosher, what is just and what is righteous. And as much as we don't have something to point to know, I'm reminded of the Supreme Court Justice, who was the one who said, I can't define pornography, but you know it when you see it. Who was the one? Anyone here? Thank you. We have a few educated people here. Baruch Hashem. Supreme Court Justice, who, when trying to define what is pornography, to define the American law, said, you can't define it, but you know it when you see it. So, Asisa Yashav Atov, sometimes you can't define it, but you know it when you see it. Would this bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem? Would it not? The last tshuva on page 21 in this section. So what happens? You go into one of the local kosher supermarkets, and your wife sent you in. You needed one item, or you went in for yourself to buy one thing for lunch, a sandwich, a wrap, and there's a line out the door. And it's already Erev Pesach. You don't know this yet because it's only Tanis Esther. But for women and rabbis, it's already Erev Pesach. So there are, you know it's Erev Pesach because when you see the supermarkets are lined with the Pesach products. So everyone's got wagons and wagons and wagons filled with items. And you've got your lousy wrap. So you want to say to the person, would you mind? Can I go ahead? Mitzad sheni gam adaka zos lokech hazman. So on the one hand, if you're one of those people online with the full carriage, if you let the one person go, what's the big deal? But what happens if another person with one item, and then another person with one item, and another person with one item? What do? You announce everybody line up on the line according to the number of items you have in your carriage? That's not the rule. The tzedek v'yosher is first come, first serve. So if you're the one with the carriage, with the items, do you let the person with that one item go first? So he quotes the Radvaz. So he says, the Radvaz, when do we talk about kikatan and kigadol tishma'u? Not everybody's equal. Whether you're adjudicating a case of where they're arguing over a dollar or they're arguing over $1 billion, they're equal. He says that's true when the level of complexity is equal as well. But if one of them is more complex or less complex than the other, then you're entitled to take the one that is less complex first, so as not to delay and aggrieve the one who's going to have to wait. Im ken mistaber, shagam b'inyanenu. If you have a line of people who need a lot of things, and someone comes and needs only one, let the one with one go first. Sometimes the person with one can take longer. The person who's buying the wrap is going to pay with pennies. The person buying the carriage has one swipe of the credit card. So essentially what Rav Zilberstein is concluding is, use your seichel. Asisa yashav atov, tzedek v'yosher. Each time and each rule and each place creates their own standards. The minhag ha-makom. What is righteous and what is just? What are the standards that we should all follow? Okay, the last two. The last three. Page 22, yes.
So you buy an item. Go to the checkout and they say $65. Box, they've got a label.
Yeah. Right. They should honor the label. $45. That's what's right. But now you thought you only had one box, but you're fighting over the cost on the label versus what they charged you. Person with 25 items behind you would have been through faster. So that's exactly his example. You have to ask, what's the tzedek v'yosher in each case? Sanhedrin. As we've seen many, many times. So therefore he has the following. Oh, we did this. I'm sorry. The different reasons why one might. Skip to page 23. Chashuke Chemed. Oh. This is actually a very timely question. You know, it's interesting. I'm no epidemiologist or infectious disease specialist. But from what I've read, the big issue with coronavirus is not only how lethal it can be to a certain segment of the population. According to some, it's less lethal than the flu, and thinks the data will be less than the flu. The difference is that the flu happens in such a slower rate that emergency rooms and emergency care centers can treat it. Whereas the spread of the coronavirus, it's going viral, is happening at such a rate that if the segment of the population is most vulnerable from it, all inundate emergency rooms simultaneously, there's going to be a lack of care, facility, treatment, material to be able to care for people. So the whole quarantining And I don't know if you saw, right before we began our shir, Israel just announced anyone coming from abroad is quarantined for 14 days, which is an extraordinary measure for a country to take, and it will have an extraordinarily negative impact on its economy. Anyone coming from abroad, effective going forward, not retroactively, has to be quarantined for 14 days. It's an unbelievable measure. The whole reason everyone's doing the quarantining and trying to slow the spread is not because they think they could stop it, but if they slow the spread, they slow the pace that people will need the care, and they'll be able to preserve enough care to be able to treat the people who need it. I'm not an expert, but I think what I just told you is pretty accurate. So here you have the following question. You have the ward at the hospital is full, the emergency room is full. You have a Jew sick who comes and needs to be admitted to the hospital, to the ward. We said it's full. Go to another hospital. But he says, you know, I don't want another hospital. I want yours. Because this hospital has a great reputation. And this hospital is close to his relatives, who will be able to care for him and visit him easily. So someone says, Boca Regional Hospital, wonderful hospital, great care, fantastic doctors, local in Boca, great rabbis. Yeah, true, I can go to Delray, or I can go to a hospital up in Palm Beach or down in Hollywood, but I don't want to go. This hospital has the best reputation. This hospital is most convenient. So the patient says, here's the deal. Kick someone out and give me a room here. I'll donate another wing so that in the future, you can treat many more patients. So the question is, can you send someone home in order to admit the wealthy patient? Because not only are you helping them now, you can make the argument, if I don't let this wealthy person in, I'm only helping one patient. If I let the wealthy patient in and send this other one home, I'm not only helping the one wealthy patient, I can build a new ward and I can have 500 more patients. So maybe, even though it's out of order and they're using protectia, using the ultimate protectia known as the mighty dollar, maybe it's justified to give it to them because you'll get a new wing, you'll get a new ward.
He could drop dead tomorrow.
He could. So you got to make him sign before you admit him. You got to put it in his estate. Okay, good. You have to have a lawyer on staff at the hospital. So what do you think? What's right? What's justified? Says Rav Zilberstein, Hagon Rav Zvulun, B'sifra Shari Zvulun Kosev, Sheshama Begiso Hagon HaTzadik B'Ephraim Zlaznik, Shami Tamidav Shemaran Agriz Mibrisk, the Brisker Rav, one of the residents of Brisk had written in their will to donate their money to a great mitzvah. So what happened? A very wealthy Jew dies and leaves in his will, I want my money to go to advance a great mitzvah, but didn't spell out which one. So they went to Reb Chaim Brisker to ask him which mitzvah should it be. And at that time in Brisk, there were two needs. They needed to update the hospital, and they needed to build the yeshiva. Those were the two needs. Everyone thought that Reb Chaim was going to say, give the money to the hospital. Because Pikuach Nefesh supersedes all the mitzvahs in the Torah, including learning Torah. Aval, this patatam, to their surprise, Maran Agon Reb Chaim Hora Lahavir Satrum Latam Torah. Reb Chaim said, give the money to the yeshiva. The Hizbir, Shein Tam Beglash Shikos Mesech and Begila, God and Tam Torah, Yosem Mitzalos Nefashos, not because Chazal describe Tam Torah as being even greater than saving lives, Kiyim HaPikuach Nefesh Omer Lefaneinu, who called them Gama Tam Torah. If, in fact, you had a sick person and you needed to give them the money in order to save their life, of course that would come first over learning Torah. Saving a life, of course, comes first over learning Torah. But that's not what was going on here. To those who are sick right now, the new building's not going to help. By the time a new building were built, they'll either be healed or they'll be dead. But they won't be in the new hospital. So the potential of building the hospital is for people who are not yet sick. So the Talmud Torah, building yeshiva, represents a very real and present gift. Building a hospital ward only represents helping people who are not yet sick. V'ulai lef shalomar gam b'inyanenu. Ka'es yesh chola ha'shoche b'beis ha'cholom v'lamar ha'shem yishachru oso ha'shachru yo laharbe mod cholom ba'asid av'al ha'cholom imeis ka'es lo fanenu. V'achola ha'zeu ka'es lo fanenu. It's true, if you release someone from the hospital and admit the wealthy person, you can build a ward that will fit many more people. But you know, that ward's not yet built. And by the time it will be built, the people who will be sick then and need it are not sick now. So you could either treat the person who's sick now, or you could build something for people who are not yet sick. So therefore, according to Reb Chaim Svara, you should leave the person in the hospital and do not admit the wealthy person, even if it means forfeiting the new building. Aval. But nevertheless, says Rav Zilberstein, b'chol zos nishesh makom l'shacher, nevertheless, there is a reason to argue that you should get rid of the slacker and admit the wealthy. And this is based on a story. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was in the hospital, Hadassah in Kerem. They heard, Heyos v'nishmu ba'avir ra'amei milchama, they heard the sounds of war, u'pachadushi yaharbe pitzuim. What year was this? 1967. Yeah, you know? Tavshin Chav Zayin, add 40. I mean, you could figure it out because you're smart, or you could be like me, just add 40. Chav Zayin is 27, add 40, it's 1967. 1967, Rosh Hashanah Zalman's in the hospital, and they hear in the air the sounds of war. And they're worried about, they're going to have many injured people. So the administration of the hospital said, anyone who can be released from the hospital, anyone who's not in a life-threatening situation, should go home in order to free up beds for the anticipated injured. You know, in 1967, they dug graves. They dug cemeteries. They thought they were going to be wiped out. So hospital said, if you're not deathly ill, we're sending you home. We need to have beds and provisions for those who will come who will be. And he said to them, what they did is right. So you could ask, based on the Reb Chaim Svara, a question. How could Shlomo Zalman have said they did the right thing? The people who are going to be injured are not injured yet. So you're going to send to someone who's sick right now in the present in order to prepare for somebody who's not yet injured in the future? That goes against Reb Chaim Svara. How is that proper? So you can say, because really, a person in this condition should be in the hospital. But they can survive not in the hospital. And you can have a nurse, somebody stop in, check in on them. So really, someone in that condition, it's preferable for them to be in the hospital. It's ideal for them to be in the hospital. But it's not absolutely necessary for them to be in the hospital. And that's why Shlomo Zalman said, if it were a question they needed to be in the hospital, you would not be entitled to send them home to free up a bed for the anticipated injured. It's only the person is, right now already, in a condition that it's ideal to be in the hospital, but it's not necessary. So maybe there's a person who's in one of the rooms in our ward, who you say, you know, all else being equal, in the ideal world, yeah, stay another day in the hospital. But the truth is you could send them home now. And if sending them home now will mean there's a free bed for the philanthropist who's going to build you the wing, maybe that's the right thing to do. You shouldn't do it in a way that will compromise his safety or wellness or well-being, but you can do it in a way where the person doesn't absolutely need to be in the hospital and you will benefit the klal by making available another wing. Last question, page 24. And with this, we finish this topic. Isha biksha v'menu la'achnis es bita l'beis ha'achlama. Amal ha'manal, beis ha'achlama male, in kam makom. She wanted to put her daughter in, and he said, it's full, there's no room. Ha'isha yizchil ha'afil protect, si'ashonos, and tas lachat, she started to apply pressure based on her protexia. She said to Amar La Rav Gavriel, Etzlenu Zelo, protexia doesn't work by us. V'asu Sipir La Sasipir, and he told her the following story. Lo Mizman Tzilzel Ela Yehudi Mechutz La'aretz. It wasn't a long time ago that someone called me from Chutz La'aretz. V'sipir li Shebito Yalda V'rotz La'giya Beis HaAchlama B'Telstone. V'yitzricha Cheda Chadashu Prati. Someone called from America. His daughter gave birth. She needs a private room in the new section. Amar li ani echad ashirim agedolim ba'olam. He said, look, I'm one of the wealthiest Jews in the world. Amarti lo kol achadarim tefusim, and they're all occupied. Ulai tifna l'malon mechubad. Maybe turn to a good, a nice hotel. Amar li eich ka esem tza malon behechshar badatim tinoket zimudah zem ma'od mesubach. Ani mukhan l'shalayim l'cha pi eser me'amachir haragil. What is this hachlama? Is that we don't have this in America so much. There are recovery centers. What are they called? A woman who gives birth goes to some place where she doesn't have to see her nudnik husband and children. And she... Good. Yeah. So there was a new one. Yeah. You know it from Shtisel. So there was a new one. There was a new one and a beautiful wing and a beautiful room. And this rich American snob says, look, it's nice that you tell me they're all taken. If you get free one up, I will pay 10 times the going rate for my princess daughter to be able to recover in that special room. And when the administrator said, look, we don't do that. Protexia doesn't work here. We have morals and scruples. So he kept raising the price more and more. And the Evna Agaf Chadash, I'll build a new wing. If you're prepared to take my daughter into one of the new rooms right now, give her VIP treatment, I will expand your center. Amarti lo, I said, Makom Meshaver lo od Agaf, Benos Yisrael Yodas Meshavos lo od Mekomos, and Bechosos, Echan Yachol lo hoti Yodas Shekvar, Kiblas Chusli, someone already has the right to be there. They paid for that room, and they had precedence for the room. Haita Yechidah Sheish lo Zelavar Ulai, Achaz Yichol Levatel, So the only thing I can check is maybe someone's willing to move their week to another week. Someone's willing to check out and willing to come and convalesce in another week. So the secretary has called everyone who had reserved a room and wanted to know whether anyone was willing to cancel. They didn't hint, because that would have biased it, that this was a critical matter for the institution. It has to be without pressure. So they didn't want to pressure anyone who had reserved to say, if you're willing to cancel or reschedule, then it will earn us an entire new wing. So they omitted and left out that fact, but they called around to see whether anyone would be willing.
One of the patients.
What?
$10,000 to one of the
that patients. That would have been the way to do it. That's what you're a businessman, Phil. Lohein lo yecholos levadaya beis ha'achlama b'talstone v'en agav chadash lebeis ha'achlama kach masayim ha'rafenonayim etzlenu protect ya mishizmina yesh lo zchus kedima afilu b'mechir kaved shal vitur al agav chadash. And this is an impressive story. This is someone who had scruples that he forfeited a new wing. Phil's right. You should have told the really rich guy, give me $10,000 to pay off one of the people.
There will be plenty of customers.
Sounds like the administrator was a principled person. Place. Yeah. So anyway, what we saw is that there are rules, like there are of other areas of halacha, that govern lines, that govern protexia, that govern bribery. It's a phenomenon and a problem not only in the secular world, in college, university, but in chadarim, in yeshivas, in the pharmaceutical industry, in doctors, in hospitals, in organ transplant. One has to pursue tzedek tzedek tirdof, v'asisa yasher v'atov, wishing you all a freilichen Purim.